You are now listening to a member of the Disney Podcast family. Head over to Disney Podcast Family on Instagram to see all the latest posts for this show and links to other great Disney podcasts.
Pay attention, it's Joe time.
I can't believe it.
Oh, Mike.
I was on TV!
Gentlemen, m'lady, you will always remember this as the day that you almost caught Captain Jack
Sparrow. I only hope that we never lose sight of one thing, that it was all started by a mountain.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode 96 of the Disney Universe Podcast. We are a bi-weekly podcast talking about everything in the vast universe of Disney, such as Lucasfilm, Marvel, Pixar, ABC, Muppets, 20th Century, and everything else under that giant umbrella. I am one of your hosts, Joey, and with me once again, stepping in to the guest mic, the big smooth himself, Alex.
What's fresh, mouse heads?
Yeah, right. Cheese heads, right? No.
I'm back.
He's back. Guess who's back? So last episode, we mentioned that Chrissy's going to be taking a little bit of a break due to her really busy schedule. And then Ryan was working a wedding. Well, it's getting closer to his wedding. So he's taking a little bit of a break, getting ready to get married while also taking wedding photos for other weddings. So, lucky for me, I have Alex filling in for that time. So couldn't ask for somebody anybody better to fill in those shoes. So
real quick, right off the bat, in honor of Ryan and Ariel's wedding, favorite Disney wedding?
Ooh, like from a movie? Or?
Yeah, just any one that happens to happen or okay. Is shown just before the credits in most princess
sure,
scenarios.
Sure. So my favorite, and I believe couple years ago we actually did like favorite anyways Will and Elizabeth's pirate fight in the rain wedding on Pirates of the Caribbean.
Did Jack officiate that?
No, Barbossa.
That's right.
And that was a great scene. So that is my favorite Disney wedding that from at World's End. What about yours?
That is a good wedding. I would have to say probably Little Mermaid when Eric almost gets married to, what's her name?
Vanessa.
Vanessa, yes. The evil Ursula in disguise, pseudo Ariel's voice. That rings. And then I guess tied with the would-be wedding was Charlotte almost getting married to the little sidekick of Princess and the Frog in the big New Orleans Mardi Gras parade.
The fake Naveen.
Yes, the fake Naveen.
That was a good one. You know, those are both really good classics.
But neither one actually went through.
Ah.
Thankfully.
Yes. But then the real weddings from those set movies were pretty classic as of themselves. So,
I hope, Ryan and Ariel, your wedding is more like the pirate wedding and less like the Mardi Gras.
Yes.
Shipwrecked wedding, I guess.
Just not fighting any fish people in the rain.
No fish people in the rain.
But, yeah.
But maybe a little Hans Zimmer. Dun, 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 dun. Ariel can walk down the aisle. Dun, 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 dun.
I wonder if Ryan would do the little Jack Sparrow, like, swag walk. Maybe not.
Little eyeliner?
Yeah, probably. Ryan, get some eyeliner and take pictures. Let us see.
Check.
No, that was a great icebreaker, though. So if you're new to the show, we'd like to welcome you guys, and I'd like to find out how you guys found us. So welcome, and we're here to entertain you, maybe make you laugh a little bit. And for our continuing listeners and friends, welcome back. I want to thank everybody for the lovely birthday wishes. Ryan posted that picture of me in front of Midway Mania wearing my Discord apparel shirt, the Toy Cast. So I just want to thank everybody for those. And once again, if you're new, Alex will tell you guys where you can interact with us.
That's right. For all of you listening to us here, you've obviously figured where to find us. But if not, tell your friends, DU Podcast is available wherever you find your podcasts under Disney Universe Podcasts, as well can be found on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Disney Universe Podcasts. And in the Patreon world, you can check out a lot of exclusives by joining the Patreon. That's patreon.com/DU Crew.
Yeah, so I'm definitely working on getting those exclusives up there. It's been a really busy summer. So for our DU crew members, hang tight. We'll get some stuff along with some swag coming out really, really soon. And once again, those DU crew members, we couldn't do this show without you guys. So that goes. We special shout out to Superfan Jen, Superfan Sasquatch, Mike, Alfredo, and once again, Discord Apparel. Thank you guys for helping support the show. Because of you, we're doing a lot on YouTube also, and that's at Disney Universe TV on YouTube. And normally we do Friday Night Live or kind of like this week's news, and I had a very busy day last week. Sasquatch was actually going to join me, and then right when I asked him, I got added. No, I just got added a longer day at work, so that didn't fall through. But this episode, we're going to be kind of talking about some new stuff. Main topics will be the Magic Key program, Galactic Star Cruiser, some of the food offerings that are for Oogie Boogie Bash that was actually just announced today. So, and we're just going to have some fun. It's going to be a loose show. We might have a little, maybe some little quick games, some quick wit games, and a couple little extra shout outs. I do want to go back to YouTube real quick and ask you guys, if you haven't already yet, go ahead and subscribe. Hit the bell. You'll get notified when we are live or have new shows. Ryan's got some ideas of shows coming up. We're going to have some more things. We had the review show for Jungle Cruise. And we're also, once we hit 100 subscribers, which doesn't sound like much, but for us, that's a milestone. We're over halfway there. The winner, or we'll have a raffle for 1 year choice of any Blu-ray 4K movies. And I should have wrote it down, but we got 4K versions of Endgame, Ryan the Last Dragon, I believe Soul. We got a princess pack and a cat pack. Yeah. So the princess pack is a 3-movie pack with Moana, Tangled, and Little Mermaid. The 3 cat pack is
cat
all
pack.
Cat pack is all the Captain America movies, First Avenger, Winter Soldier, and Civil War. And I think we got Mary Poppins Returns and I'm trying to remember. There's a DVD combo pack. It's the animated Beauty and the Beast along with the live action. So once we hit 100 subscribers.
How far away are you?
I think we're at 59.
59. So that's like everybody listening now. Yes. If you're not already subscribed, subscribe. And then tell one person to subscribe. And then y'all could all meet up on Friday nights. And we'll all be talking the news, the Disney news, what's happening. Basically like doing this, what we're doing here today, we'll all do it together live. So make sure you go subscribe to Disney Universe, Disney Universe TV?
Yes, sir.
Disney Universe TV on YouTube. I think you said you're going to do like 3 or 4 of those Blu-ray DVDs.
Yeah, once we get that 100.
Get it before the 100th episode.
Yeah, which is 4 episodes away. So the original is the winner. We're going to do a raffle, and the winner gets to choose two of those movies or 2 of the packs. But if we get it before we hit 100, I'm throwing 3 movies in there. So that's 4 episodes away, and I will be plugging it on Instagram. And one more big shout out is to our good friends at Neverland Trading, who keep putting out some amazing Disney inspired t-shirts and apparel. It is Teresa's favorite time of year, so they're just released all their Halloween offerings. The spooky season, and I am going to be probably ordering a shirt for our Oogie Boogie trip, and you can check them out at NeverlandTrading.com, and I want you to hit checkout, find something you like, type in D-verse in that little checkout promo code, that's D-V-E-R-S-E, and get a nice little discount. But let's get to talking some news. So
what's the news? What's happening to the buzz?
But we did get a little, as legacy pass holders, got an email last week saying
the wait is almost over
pretty much. And we got the name of the new program called Magic Keys, and they informed us that we will be getting information the next day. Yes. But it created quite a big buzz, and a lot of people were trying to guess what it was going to be. And it's pretty much the old annual pass program but it's all been flexified pretty much.
Hashtag flex passes for all.
Yes.
You get a flex pass. You get a flex pass.
You get a flex pass.
Everybody gets a flex pass.
Only if you pay. So, just last week we got that, let me see. The Magic Key program is here.
I got the bare bones of it.
I got
the deets. So as you said, the Magic Key program, there's four tiers of it, and it kind of mirrors tiers that you would recognize, at least price-wise, from the previous annual pass holder program. We have the top tier is the Dream Key at $1,399. That key has no blockout dates, and I put an asterisk by that, and we'll get to that at the end. Six reservations at a time. They get the 20% off of merchandise and 15% off of food, and it includes parking. The next tier down is going to be the Believe Key. That goes for $949. It's approximately 50 blackout dates over the course of the 365-day year. I think it's not a leap year next year.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar, like the system, this is pretty much the Deluxe Pass.
Yes.
And this is the one I had.
Yeah, the Deluxe Pass. And the Dream Key would have been the Signature Plus. Yeah, there's no Signature. They just wrap Signature and Signature Plus into the top of the Dream Key. Believe Key is pretty much like the Deluxe. So about 50 blockout dates.
Which are basically weekends and holidays.
That one also carries six reservations at a time.
Yeah.
10% off merchandise and food, and you get half off your parking with that Believe Key. The Enchant Key, so this is going to be comparable to about what the Flex Pass was.
Yeah.
Although I believe with the Flex Pass before, you could only hold three reservations at a time.
You can hold two, I believe, but you also had good to go days. Say you wanted to go on a Saturday and Sunday.
Right.
You made those reservations, but then a good to go day on Friday would be green, so you could go. Then Monday you could still go.
Yes. So the Enchant Key would be this. It's $649. There are approximately 150 blackout dates, so about a little bit less than half of the year. You can hold four reservations at a time. And I should say that these reservations, I believe, can be made up to 90 days out of the date. So obviously those big, you know, weekend days and things, are people are going to be planning those for those 3 months out and getting on to reserve ASAP. Also has 10% off merchandise and 10% off food. The final, the Imagine Key, imagine if I could get the top tier Dream Key, is what I call it. I keyed. This is most comparable to the SoCal Select or SoCal Resident Annual Pass. It's $399. Approximately 220 blackout dates. There's definitely a lot of blackout dates on this one and the Enchant Key.
Yeah.
You can only hold two reservations at a time, and you do still continue to get the 10% off merchandise, 10% off food. The big one is this, as well, is only available to SoCal residents by zip code. That's the four tiers.
Yeah, I'm looking at the calendar for this one, and
no July.
There's a lot of tiers.
I'm going to be on this one. Any weekend, any Saturdays or Sundays the entire year.
All the blackout days look like pretty much when all the tickets went on sale when Disneyland opened.
Right.
So, like we were talking.
If you like to go to Disneyland on Tuesdays and you live a half hour from the park, this is for you. I mean.
Exactly.
As I said before we started recording, if I lived that close, I would get this because I would go on weekdays and I would get my money's worth within 2 weeks.
All of June and July of 2022 is out. Yeah, crazy. And these are days like, May, the end of May. So people that live local, and when Star Wars Celebration hits next May, might not be able to go to the park.
Anytime anyone's off or anything's happening, you would not be able to go.
So, but yeah, I mean, well, that's what we got. And
So I said that little asterisk before about the blockout date. So here's the thing. And this is purely speculation, but presuming the whole big hinge on this is the reservations and the amount of reservations you can hold, and the whole reservation system as a whole. And I don't want to get all the way into the argument on if reservations are good or bad, because I think they have their merits. And I think, you know, obviously it can be a pain for those of us who love the spontaneity of being able to just go in Disneyland. I'll say right now, I had a a moment on our recent trip that we just talked about on the last episode. At the end of the trip, we were trying to go. We had said we'd go back to get a spider bot for Chris, Addie's nephew. And we did not account for the fact that they were only being sold in Disney California Adventure, for the most part, at Avenger Campus or the big Avengers store. And so on the day after our tickets were good, we were in downtown Disney hoping to find it. We couldn't get it. Had we still had an annual pass where we could just walk into the park, we just walked in, got the spider bot and left. But because we didn't, we did not have that option. We had a relatively unhappy 13-year-old because he didn't get the one thing he was waiting to get the whole time, which, you know, I guess it's our bad for not foreseeing that on the back end. But we even went to guest services and was like, yo, is there any way you can walk out a spider bot? You can walk us into it. Like, I'm literally just trying to put $150 back in Disney's pocket.
Stage 17 is not in the park, technically.
And of course, they don't expressly say, you know, but if you wanted to make a reservation and buy a ticket, you could go in and get it. And that was pretty much my only option. So that, you know, right there is one problem as far as, you know, the reservations, the spontaneity, or being able to just do what you will. My big worry is if this takes off and gets as popular, especially having monthly payments available, which makes these tickets and the higher tiered tickets a lot more accessible to people like me who probably shouldn't be spending $1,400 on a ticket to Disneyland. You're going to have the reservations get really impacted, and we're not really told if they're maxing the number that they're selling of each one of these tiers, if there are going to be more availability of reservations to people with a dream key versus an enchant key, aside from the blockout days, or, you know, if it does blow up and you have a dream key and want to get in on a day, you know, when all the other keys are available and it just ends up blocked out, you know, you spent $1,400 on a ticket. You should be able to go anytime you want to go.
Yeah, exactly.
So these are all things. It's kind of going to be trial and error, wait and see. I had the same worry when I bought my Flex Pass back in 2019, because that was a new thing then. And I was like, okay, well, initially there's not really any problems getting reservations, but let's wait and see what happens when more people catch on, switch from deluxe down to flex, and how the reservations go. Unfortunately, we never got to see that realized.
Yeah, I had my Flex Pass for about 2-3 weeks before the parks closed, and but it was easy to kind of navigate around the whole system and idea of it.
Yeah.
So I was able to get those good-to-go days pretty easily. And one thing I did kind of notice at one of the big arguments is they haven't really announced a Max Pass or option yet.
Yeah.
But that this Magic Key will be available. It's not going to be a ticket. It's not going to be like you're not going to have your annual pass like in the old days. It's going to all be based on the app, correct?
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. It's all in the app. And I will say that's one thing that they had gotten pretty darn good with the Flex Pass, is being able to go in and reserve your days and just have that all be in the app. I know one of the things promised with the new Magic Key, there will be a special portal for Magic Key holders on the Disneyland app. As well, there will be a charter member package if you sign up in the first 66 days. Of course, for Disneyland's 66th birthday this year, you'll get a charter member package, which includes a pin, which they just released a photo of online today. And I believe that's by October 30th, according to the image with the pin, as well as I think they said like a magnet or a certificate that you're a charter member. So just kind of like a little goodie bag.
Yeah.
Say thanks for being the first. you know, unfortunately, there's no actual pass card. So it's not like you'll have like a charter member pass card or anything. That's all integrated into the app. There will be, however, special merchandise, special food items. They're talking about Magic Key Holder months. So probably similar to those annual pass holder months where they had like a lounge you can go and meet like rare characters and things.
Yeah.
The one that caught my eye is they said that there was going to be some sort of thing going on in the Starcade, I think around the beginning of September or before the end of September. I'm highly doubted it's the Starcade as you or I remember. Any chance to step foot back in this hallowed ground where we used to enjoy so many times running off of Star Tours or Space Mountain?
Yeah, it was just a store recently. So I actually got that written down here. So they got the Magic Key Terrace, which is a reimagined reservation-based lounge just for Magic Key holders and their friends and family.
And I believe that is the one that's above
Inventions.
No, no, no. I think that one's actually in DCA. It's the annual pass holder lounge that they're using right now. The was it the Alfresco tasting?
I think
before,
so.
Before, and now it's the legacy pass holder area, and will soon become the Magic Key pass holder area.
Then, yeah, then I'll just have, they got the Magic Key holder month, like you mentioned, a month long celebration. I remember they had some events back in the day. They had special screenings of like Aladdin at Big Thunder Mountain, like the Jamboree area, and that, and you know, popcorn and s'mores. They had special like long lost friends days.
I do remember. I don't recall, but it was a similar one of the years, like going in the annual pass holder lounge and getting the recipe cards with different foods.
Yeah.
And I remember Baymax was in there one of the times, and I went in there all day trying to get in line to meet Baymax, and it was just too long the whole day. And another testament to how many annual pass holders there are out there.
Yeah, I think one of my favorite old school AP like perks, I guess, is and this was a time when I was working at the airline, so I could like fly whenever. And my niece, her dad and stepmom worked for the airline, so she had the passes. That's why she was my big parks buddy, because we can always go. But one of the perks, we were there one summer, and we went to go get a fast pass for Tower Terror when it was still Tower Terror, and an extra pass came out, and it was World of Colors was only around for like a year or two, but they were really plugging the light up ears, the glow with the show is what they called it.
Glow with the show.
So when we got our Tower Terror fast pass, popped out another pass to like, hey, we're doing a special screening for APs for Glow of the Show, you know, in September. Reserve now for your chance to. So we, oh, cool, yeah. So we reserved, came back down, and they handed out those ears, and so
which were like $60.
Yeah, exactly. And they just gave them to us for free, and so we all went around, and so I have video of it on YouTube, and it's all the ears lighting up to Roll to Color. And that was one of the best perks I think I did.
Very short-lived also.
Yes, it was.
People didn't catch on to Glow with the Show.
Yeah, because after that, a few years later, they did the wand thing for the 60th.
I think Etsy ears just took off too much. It's like, why am I going to pay $60 for your light-up ears?
They're
really fun. Either if I have, although, you know, the pay-to-play with the Avengers Campus things and stuff is starting to take off, so who knows?
But those ears were cool because they did a lot more than just Glow with the Show. If you were at Cars Land, then like if you're around Mater's Junkyard Jamboree, only one ear was lit up. then when you were by Radiator Springs Racers, it lit up red. If you're by Cozy Cone, it lit up orange. Then if you went to Mad Tea Party, it was all just going crazy. Yeah,
that's cool.
It was really cool. And I heard they were trying to do it with a Haunted Mansion and Fantasmic. So I think it interacted with Fantasmic for a short time, and even Haunted Mansion, it would turn off, like throughout the entire ride. But once you saw the bride and were in the graveyard, then it was like green and kind of like dancing with a grim grinning ghost.
That sounds fun. We need to figure out something to do. If any of y'all have Glow with the Show ears, we'll get Tori down and Joe and you, and I'll go find one of those wands, and we'll make our own World of Color, you know, since it's in defense status.
We'll do it for Jungle Cruiser, because every time he's gone, he's missed Fantasmic, so we'll do a special
show. We will make Fantasmic for Jungle Cruiser. I'm down with that.
But a couple other things they have mentioned. I know you haven't noted down, but they said the special experiences and collectibles. So access exciting, unique experiences, collectibles, keepsakes, designed with you in mind, including special offerings during festivals, first access opportunities, be the first to have opportunity access new offerings at Disneyland Resort throughout the year, including select new merchandise collections. And I think one of the things that was mentioned was even like the Christmas parties or Christmas, like even like the candy or candy canes or something. I'm not sure.
It'll be interesting to see how exclusive the kind of stuff is.
Yeah.
I mean, I also saw one of them said like exclusive embroidery. So like, they'll only let you embroider a key on the back of your ears if you have a magic key.
Yeah.
Which, you know, cool.
Because they have the AP patch, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're basically doing all the free things they could do, but that they would only do for you, which makes sense.
Photo pass.
I hope that they're going to have, you know, at least as much as they had in the past with those experiences we talked about, you know, getting the free like little popcorn and water, or, you know, the recipe cards or the meet and greets with the characters. I'm sure it'll be cool. But yes, it'll be interesting to see what happens with FastPass overall,
yeah,
let alone with the magic key holders. I saw some speculation that this whole reservation system is basically just leading to a further thing with the fast passes of it becoming, as it is now in Paris, premier access.
Yeah.
Where basically they, having the reservations, they can use the numbers they have there along with the flow of traffic in the park. And then maybe, you know, since you have your magic key in your phone, you'll get a push notification that says, hey, right now only $5 for a fast pass for Thunder Mountain because there's nobody on Thunder Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So they can kind of make the pricing dynamic, you know, to within minutes or hours based on your location in the park, based on how the flow of the park is that day. And then obviously, you know, they'll be much more expensive on busier days. The price, I can't see myself. I mean, I know I paid $20 for the Max Pass. I can't see myself spending $20 for 2 to 3 Fast Passes.
Yeah.
For a trip, especially since I've already been back and had to experience the park without them. I guess it would be another wait and see on how many of these passes get sold, and how much it impacts the lines of rides, and yeah.
Yeah, because I know that was one of the big controversies, like, oh, I don't want to have to pay. But, like, I mean, Southern California people are used to paying for Fast Passes at Universal now if they want Magic Mountain, I believe.
Time is money.
Yeah.
Time is money.
And I was okay, like you said, paying the even $25 for Max Pass, but not having a limit to it.
Right.
But, you know, also that, doing the photo pass with that. So I thought that was a good bargain. Having
the photo pass included. I noticed on our recent trip, I think they're selling it for $20 to get photo pass downloads from one day. So, I mean, everything's kind of gone up a little bit, yet it's down from where it was prior to the advent of Max Pass.
Yeah.
Because I think before, getting all your photo downloads was something like 50 or... I don't know, 75. That might be for like a whole trip, though, multiple days.
Yeah, of course. And of course, Magic Key will have a special Disney Photo Pass opportunities.
Of course.
Of course. Of course. And a Magic Key holder themed popcorn buckets and sippers. So,
all things, yeah. Magic Key. I'm here for it. I'll ask you first, since I know what I'm going to say. Are you going to get a Magic Key?
Yeah, definitely. I was thinking at first about the Enchanted one. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm like, you know what? I was fine with a Flex Pass, you know, living in Northern California, you know, having certain days at doing the reservations, that was no problem. But once I saw the blackout dates compared to the Believe one, I'm like,
you're looking at a good 100 more days.
Yeah.
To go.
So I figured,
I guess it's just a matter of, would you commit to not going in like June or July?
Which would be hard, yeah, because I know there's a lot of stuff happening next year
in June or July.
Well, just in general between, like, the end of May, and we should be...
Star Wars Celebration.
D23. Mickey's Runaway Railway should be opening.
Yes.
Around June or July, so...
Oh, that fast?
I think
initially,
so.
Initially, it was supposed to be 2023.
Oh, was it? Oh, I must have seen the wrong thing.
But they might... they could have gotten a head start because of COVID, or, you know, the closure.
Yeah. So, real quick, before we drop out of the key talk... The Dream Key, as you mentioned earlier, which is $13.99, they did come up with the monthly payments, like we mentioned.
Yes.
And a lot of people were either don't like that they're doing monthly payments, but you know what? I'm glad that they are.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So the monthly payment for the $13.99 is $102 a month.
This is with $179 down, I believe.
Yeah, and all passes, you got to drop $179 for all the keys.
Pro tip. What I usually do or have done in the past is when I'm making my first trip, because all week I've seen, because they just recently had the California ticket holder deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, which is what we use for our trip. And people are asking, can we upgrade our tickets to the Magic Key? So with the California ticket holder deal, you cannot do that. But with any other tickets purchased, you can do it. You have to do it, obviously, before the end of the last day of your ticket, whatever amount of days is. And if you happen to have purchased multiple tickets, you can only use one to apply towards your magic key. So my pro tip I was going to say is we usually will buy a 3-day ticket for our visit and then upgrade that to the annual pass or now magic key. Thus, you're putting a little bit more down and making your monthly payments a little bit lower.
Plus, you would have gone to get that 3-day anyways. Yes. I mean, before. Yeah, so
it was whatever amount of days you're planning to go for your first trip, get that. If you're going for 5 and you can afford to do it, obviously, because I've also been in the other boat where I was going for 3 days and I couldn't afford a 3-day ticket. So I put the 100 whatever down for the 1 day and then was able to go the next couple of days.
Yeah. And also when you do your down payment, they also charge you the first month that following Monday, usually. So I'm just guessing.
Yeah, it's usually within a couple of days. So yeah. for that top pass, that would be a lot all at once.
Yeah, exactly. Then coming in on the Believe key, which is the $9.49, that'll be $65 a month, which is not bad. And then the Enchanted key, we got $40 a month. And then the Imagine key, the SoCal residence, is only $19 a month. So
yeah, man. I mean, who knows? Maybe I'll have to go. undercover style like my first annual pass back when they only allowed Southern California residents to do the monthly payments. I had to change some of my I changed the billing address for my bank to my friend's house in Temecula so that I could make monthly payments on my pass. That's what I did back then, and I might do that now. Although I will say they did card us for the California resident ticket at the gate when we went on our recent trip. So while in most situations, I've always heard people say that they never get carded for SoCal Select passes, never get carded for military tickets, anything like that. I wouldn't want to go into all those links to get that SoCal Imagine key and then not be able to use it.
Yeah, no kidding. That'd be kind of a pain, but yeah, but I think this is great news. I mean, this is something I was expecting that would get announced late fall. And I was expecting it to be like, all right, here's the announcement in fall, and it'll be available at the beginning of the year. And then, nope, we're coming out right now.
So. No, they're ready. Yeah, the writing was on the wall. I think it's when they threw out those California tickets, they were just kind of trying to bridge the gap until this came out.
Yeah.
And I guess word is that they weren't selling too many of those, or I guess we'll see. I'm already starting to see reports that the attendance at the parks is kind of going down because kids are going back to school. So they're saying there may be a pop of people buying those SoCal tickets and using them in September until they're done. And also, of course, August 25th is the big day when these Magic Keys go on sale. So we'll see how many people are jumping to the resort on August 25th to get their magic key.
Yeah.
We'll be watching.
Yeah. I'll be working, but I'll see what's going on. But no, yeah, I'm excited. And have you said which one you're going to get yet? I
do not think we're going to get a magic key.
Because you got a lot going on.
We have a lot going on in 2022. While I did get that D23 membership, I'm hoping to go to D23 in August. We are also hoping to make a big trip to Disney World at some point next year. And when I say big, I'm talking like Daddy won't be happy with less than 10 days. I'm talking 2 weeks, hopefully, this will spin us into our next subject here. But hopefully this will be when the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser is open. And hopefully I win the lottery beforehand and we'll have enough money to go and do that. Because that sounds like a trip I'd like to take.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is insane because we got news that the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser will be ready to launch, in spring of 2022. And so a lot of people got excited. And the video they showed was really cool. I mean, it was pretty cinematic. And but the one thing that caught everybody's eye right away was the prices.
And,
I mean, this is, I think I'd have a better chance of flying, taking that shuttle with Bezos or Elon Musk to space. But yeah, let me get some of the prices here. Okay, and when they announced a lot of these pricings, the memes for these were hilarious because people were like, I was listening to the Resistance broadcast, one of my favorite Star Wars only podcasts, and John tweeted like, "I'll pay you 60 now, and then 2,000 when we get to the Star Cruiser or to Batuu or and but oh my gosh, so we got.
I'll gladly pay you Monday for a trip to a galaxy far, far away on Friday.
I got five on it. Yeah. But we got, oh man, this hurts to read sometimes. But so you get two guests per cabin, $1,209 per guest that, per night.
That's the price per person if it's two guests.
Right? Yes.
They have different.
Yes. There's so the total voyage that is about. $4,800, and that's for two guests. For three guests, it's $889 per person per night, or $5,299 for the whole.
And it specifies two adults, one child. So don't think you're dragging your three grown men friends and trying to get that price because they will get you otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like how they have to throw that one child. Aside from the fact that I'm assuming it's just for comfort's sake, like one of the beds is specifically made for a child. So it's time to find your under 5 foot Star Wars geek friend to come.
And when I see that, I picture the little hanging sack that Mando had Grogu in and the Razor Crest just swinging. So for that three adult, one child, $749 per guest per night or $5,999.
Just a buck under $6,000.
Yeah. So, I mean, but they had some really good concept art of the photos. Everybody looks happy like they just didn't spend their whole year's salary on a two-night stay.
It's because they spent dollars, but they got credits.
Exactly. But it looks like the kids have this little bunk kind of similar to what's on the Falcon where Chewie was being, I don't know, but they got a two-bedroom Grand Captain suite, ample room for the whole family feature. I'm not going to go over all these, but... There's a captain's table. There's an itinerary. We won't really get into that because I don't want to spoil. I mean, you're paying thousands of dollars. I don't want nothing to really get spoiled. But the people that can afford this probably don't listen to this podcast anyways.
The information's there if you want it. I'm going to just say, personally, I'm living on my Imagine Key right now. and I'm dreaming and believing that I will be enchanted and have the money to do this when we make our trip to Disney World. So I'm hoping I don't get too many of the details of the itinerary. Things that I had just asked when we were talking about this before recording was it doesn't say if admission to the park is included, as I know that there is a point during your voyage where you do go to Batuu.
So I think to do this particular experience, you're only going to Batuu, and there's like a three and a half hour window when you're there. So you
kind of like a port of call on a cruise ship.
Yeah. So I don't think you can, unless you're really, really, savvy about it. But yeah, I don't think
you won't want to. I don't want to go run into, you know. I guess in this particular case, you could run a Toy Story Land or something because it would be in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, and I'm believing you're still dressed up like you because you're in full costume when you're
They encourage it. It's not mandatory. Yeah.
But I you're paying that much money, I think.
Oh, well, and that's what I'm saying. If I'm paying $6,000, $4,000 or $5,000, whatever.
Yeah.
I want to ride the whole thing. So, I think because I think there's speculation that when they came out with the new real lightsaber that they've been working on, that is going to be somehow incorporated here into the Galactic Star Cruiser. And I remember in early concept arts, there was kind of like a training helmet type thing, which I'm guessing is probably just some sort of VR. But
I think that's cool. What it is. It's part of a game experience that will be on the Star Cruiser. Then there's going to be like Sabacc, like learning how to play Sabacc.
I mean, I saw about the captain's table, which I'm guessing is another, premier added cost to sit at the captain's
and
table.
You get two meals a day from when you're there, but no like specialty items or alcoholic beverages. And then your experience at Galaxy's Edge is you're supposed to have special admission to the attraction. So you have a special area where you ride Smuggler's Run and Rise of the Resistance. Then food at Docking Bay 7 is also included there. And I think everything else is on your extra dollar.
I'm assuming they'll incorporate Datapad similarly as it is in Galaxy's Edge onto the,
yeah,
the Helicon.
Yeah, and they're supposed to have special magic bands for this. So, no, but yeah, they're going to have, I'm sure you could, there's an exclusive Datapad game or something exclusive to the Star Cruiser, because I'm sure you could probably play it on the cruiser. There's going to be places everywhere to do that.
I mean, they're already doing that kind of stuff on the cruise ships.
Yeah. With
interactive Bluetooth kind of scavenger hunts. I mean, they had something like that at Aulani, although you had to have their iPad to go along and do it. I'm sure it's only a matter of time until they incorporate that into an app as well.
Yeah. So I just real quick, this isn't a spoiler. This is just what Disney World put out. The poster looks super cool because there's a kid dressed as a Jedi. There's a girl looks like she looks like Jyn Erso. There's a Twi'lek, like a senator guy. Then, of course, Imperial officer. So they wrote, feel it, see it, live it. Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser is a revolutionary new two-night experience where you are the hero. You and your group will embark on the first-of-its-kind Star Wars adventure that's your own. It's the most immersive Star Wars story ever created, one where you live a bespoke experience and journey further into the Star Wars universe. Adventure more than ever dreamed possible. And so you arrive at the Walt Disney World Resort terminal, and you board a special launch pod, and it rendezvous you with the how do you say Halcyon?
Helicon.
Helicon. Thank you.
Or Halcyon. I don't know that I'm saying it right. My frame of reference is I think it's Ellie Goulding's first album was similarly titled Helicon.
Yeah, and I'll just throw the spelling Halcyon. So, and that's the name of the Star Cruiser. You stay in a cabin or a suite with an exquisite view of space, so LCD screen window of space. Throughout your ship, you'll interact with the electric collection of characters, sit down to exotic galactic cuisine, and perhaps even plot a secret mission together. As the itinerary continues, you'll take the story further and deeper, choose your path, seek your inner workings of a legendary starship, learn the traditional art of welding a lightsaber, and even jump on a transport planet to Batuu, where your mission continues at Galaxy's Edge. So that tells me that the datapad thing is exclusive. They'll have a special, it won't be that what you get all the time at Galaxy's Edge, but something more into your story at the cruiser, which is, I mean, pretty cool.
Yeah.
The datapad thing's fun. So.
This all sounds awesome. And I just tried to, I messed around with the datapad in Galaxy's Edge on our recent trip. And it was fun trying to scan items. And I think you were talking about Udi was using it on Smuggler's Run, and it actually accumulates points.
Yeah.
You get a pin, like you can get earn things, earn physical achievements.
Yeah, he spent a couple hours one time just going through all the things, and, mm-hmm. and he got enough credits through there from all over the land to get a pin.
So, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
and that's the only way you could get that particular pin.
So, I mean, here another argument for the Magic Key, the annual pass, is being able to go frequently enough to enjoy these type of things. Because best believe if I'm spending $170 a day at Disneyland, I'm not just looking at my phone walking around Galaxy's Edge the whole time.
Yeah. So, yeah, it says part live immersive theater, part themed environment, part culinary extravaganza, part real life role-playing game. And yet, there's so much more. It does sound super cool. I don't think it's something I'm ever going to be able to afford to go to. Because, that's the price that you're paying. And I hate being like a downer. And I'm not going to like really like crap on it. But it's like that. Yeah, if someone's like, oh, it's the same price. You know, we were talking about it, same price as a cruise. But a cruise is like, you could get the same price for 5 to 6 nights instead of 2.
I was just spitball right here. For that price, you could do a week at Aulani, including the round trip flights and everything you eat.
Yeah.
For the 2 nights you're going to do.
For a week.
For a week at Aulani. And probably whether you're listening on the East Coast West Coast or anywhere in between. That would include the flight, everything. We're talking $6,000, saying just for two people, you know. So I guess almost $5,000. But, I mean, Alani's like $550 a night for the cheapest room. So, I mean, that's maybe it's a little stretch to say food and everything. But, I mean, even if we were to just say 2 days versus 2 days, Alani way cheaper. I think you'd probably get on the brand new Disney Wish cruise ship for about half that price for a week-long cruise.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right.
About $1,500 a person. This one we're looking at almost $2,400 a person for 2 days.
Yeah.
I need more stimulus checks.
Yes, I need more OT.
That was my whole big thing. I had listened to a podcast talking about they reserved the, I forget what it's called, but the private room at Club 33, which is basically how you could get into Club 33 if you do not have a membership and you do not know anyone who has a membership. This club is available for reservation to anyone. The price is $15,000, but it is a 5-course meal with drinks and everything. You got your own bartender, own, you know, server, chefs. They actually ask you what you want to eat, what type of foods, and then they come up with the menu based on what you're feeling. And then you pretty much get the run of the place for the evening, watch Fantasmic, should it be happening. But that whole experience, $1,500 or $15,000, I was saying, you know, if we just get 12 people to put their stimulus checks towards it, or 12 people should be good.
And they got some great Tiki merchandise, Club 33 exclusives right now, too. So. But no,
disappointed to be missing the Jungle Cruise because it was it's always when it's like, I was just there, you know?
Yeah. So
another argument for the annual pass to be able to just pop back over.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I mean, this is really cool, but I do as much as I would love to go to do this. I know it's something that, I mean, I like you said, I'd rather use that money me personally for a week in Alani. Or a cruise.
If you're going to spend $5,000, well, I guess $5,000 yourself, but for roughly $3,000, we're saying, because you still have to get to Florida and everything for this anyway. So, yeah, let's call it $5,000.
Then if you're there, you can't do Florida for just for 2 days, so now you're playing for a regular Disney vacation on the side of that. So.
Which is why I hope some, you know, I will be able to piggyback this onto my grand only time I'll get to do it before I have children, Disney World trip.
Yes.
But hopefully you'll see my Patreon for that next year.
Our GoFundMe. But now let us know what you guys think about the Galactic Star Cruiser idea. And do you think it's something that they might move to California at some time? If there's ever any room freeze up, who knows? But now that's it for our main two topics. But a couple of things been kind of trickling up recently. And I'll let Alex take that because...
Yeah, there was just recent announcements. Disney Parks blog is calling it Disney Foodie Guide Volume 5 or Announcement 5, as they've been trickling out the releases of their restaurants and things around property. We now have, I'm going to finish with that because that's our big exciting one. But we know when the Carnation Cafe is opening. That is opening September 16th. Unfortunately, that's the only one it didn't give us when the reservations would become available. All the rest of these, it also states when the reservations become available. The Disney's Princess Breakfast Adventures at Napa Rose is a mouthful, and you get breakfast.
Say that five princesses. Times fast.
I believe this was something that had started just before the closure, it was nothing I was ever interested in. But I think people with small children interested in princesses would probably dig this. As I've seen from some videos, obviously the character experience is slightly different. From what I gather, it seems to be a little bit less than them coming to your tables and taking personal photos, but a little bit more than the socially distanced meets that you get within the park.
Which has gotten better.
It has. I mean, I got a cool selfie with Oswald when I was there. And
yeah.
I mean, just the fact that you can get, you know, the Fab Five standing by the train station.
Snow White right in front of Carthay Circle.
Yeah. There's fun settings that you wouldn't normally get if they weren't out in the open with a line around them. So we got Carnation Cafe is opening. We got the Princess Adventures Breakfast that opens August 26th, with reservations beginning August 11th. Goofy's Kitchen, will be reopening August 18th. They did state that the characters will not be a part of Goofy's Kitchen Buffet when it initially opens, but they will be coming at a later date. So we'll hope we'll see Goofy cooking. I guess he's so busy reopening the restaurant, he can't come out to see people just yet. We also have the Minnie and Friends character breakfast at the Plaza Inn in Disneyland Park. That comes back August 12th.
It's a fan favorite.
That's a good one. It's a good Disney buffet breakfast in the park. I always seem to have a cool smattering of characters. You see Peter Pan, you see Pooh, you see, you know, Minnie, just kind of usually one or two princes. Those were the character breakfasts I remember from when I was
Mad Hatter there. And Alice.
Now it just seems so themed and you only get like three.
Yeah.
Three or four. So Minnie and Friends, August 12th, and that's this week. And
as much as I love Plaza Inn for dinner, I don't think I've ever had breakfast there.
I mean, I have, but it was a long time
ago. I was probably a kid.
For character breakfast.
Gets mentioned on this show a lot. Probably happened way before Ryan was even born.
That's right. So. We'll see if Ryan has or will be going to the Minnie and Friends breakfast on his next trip after their wedding. All these. Oh, and of course, the last but not least, yes, the one we're most excited for.
I shared this on the Tiki Cast.
Trader Sam's now taking reservations. That had been a big thing since they reopened. And even prior to, I mean, we know Trader Sam's is so small inside. Even with the outside availability, waits were, you know, into the 2, 2.5, 3, 4 hours trying to get in there. So now we can make reservations for lunch and dinner. That starts for the 15th. I guess is this Friday or Saturday?
So you can start the reservation. Start the 11th tomorrow, as of a recording.
We're probably going to check. They usually tend to do it around 8 a.m. or something in the morning, but I will casually start looking in the app as soon as we finish.
So I thought Trader Sam's was doing a good job. A lot of people didn't like it, but they actually had a hostess standing outside of the ramp, and they weren't letting, if there was no seats open, you couldn't just stand and hover over people. They were only letting people in as long as tables and seats were open.
Right.
So, I like that, cause especially, you know, you got somebody like myself that's been there since they've opened, and you keep telling people, oh, you got to go to Trader Sam's. And sometimes you bring them with them, and it's so crowded. So sometimes if it's a new person, they're like, oh, I don't know what the fuss is about. It's too crowded. I didn't get this. So at least with that. But now with the reservations, it makes it a lot easier because
pretty much just don't show up if you don't have a reservation.
Yeah, exactly. And the cool thing, too, is...
Or they'll have the ability to add the walk-up QR code as they do at, like, Oga's Cantina.
Yeah.
You know.
And talking to Skipper Christian on the Tiki Cast and All Aboard, he mentioned that they are doing a 90-minute limit, which is... Again, I'm okay with.
Totally fine.
And then they're also going to be opening earlier now. They would open at 4, 3 to 4, give or take, for Trader Sam's. Tangaroa Terrace was always open early because they're open for like a morning. They got coffee, breakfast menu.
Right.
But now Trader Sam's, I think, will be opening, I want to say, around 11.
Yeah, I think it's 11 or 12 because it's lunch and dinner reservations.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so that's great news. I'm excited. Hopefully we'll be able to get reservations. I love Tangaroa Terrace ever since I would almost rather be out there with the music, the ambiance. But, I mean, if I could get inside Trader Sam's now.
Yeah, either way.
Either way, I'm happy. Yeah. Good food, good drink.
Good company.
Yes.
Good vibes. As of listening to this, those reservations should all be open for those places, except for maybe Carnation Cafe. But we will be on the lookout. I do believe they added a few new menu items at Carnation. They pointed out a short rib mac and cheese.
Ooh.
Sounds really good.
Sounds
and
delicious.
Also, I think they said a sourdough patty melt. So those both sound right in my wheelhouse. But the fried pickles are back, Mickey waffles in the morning.
Yes.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner at Carnation Cafe is a Disneyland classic, and we're ready for it.
Yes, ready for it all.
So another add-on, another thing that we are interested in, as we will be attending the Oogie Boogie Bash.
Well, coming up in
September. They just announced today that they will have some kind of reserved parade dining and dessert parties The details are still a little loose as this has just come out today, but there will be a Wine Country Trattoria Oogie Boogie Parade Dining. It says it's a 3-course prefix. It is for a reserved standing area for the parade. There is a kids menu or kids package that does include the Oogie Boogie Popcorn Bucket. The Oogie Boogie Popcorn Bucket is also available for adults, but you have to pay extra for that. And the reservation process for this is a little different. It says for you to go ahead and make a Wine Country Trattoria reservation during the Oogie Boogie Bash. Obviously, you will have to have an Oogie Boogie Bash ticket to attend and go. And then you just let the host know upon arrival that you want to upgrade to the parade package. And obviously, a limited amount will be available, so it'll be first come, first serve. Honestly, if you are going and trying to do this, I would either plan to go for lunch as they start doing it when the fold-over time is at 3 o'clock the ticket holders, or just go then, you know, and say you want to add on just in case they're letting people do that later on if you have a later dinner reservation. But that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it sounds a lot like what they used to do with like the package for Fantasmic.
Yes.
But it wasn't just dinner. Like, I know it wasn't a separate ticketed thing, but, you know, if you had dinner, you can get it anywhere between, but then you get like a bracelet or something in return for your seating for Fantasmic. They even did it for World of Color when it first opened, where you actually had like a chicken lunch. So you would have lunch at the Trattoria, that area, and you'd have a really good lunch and dessert and everything. Gave you a bracelet. All right, so when you guys come back to watch World of Color, line up in the blue section. And this is everybody that had those meals. So it's cool that they're kind of incorporating this back again, because it was a cool little system. But it sounds a little bit – they make it sound a little bit more complicated because it's a ticketed event.
Right.
But it seems like the same style, though, which is pretty cool.
In addition, there is also a dessert offering during the Oogie Boogie Bash, a ticketed dessert offering, and it will be at Sonoma Terrace, Sonoma Terrace Oogie Boogie Dessert Party. Very, very exciting, creative name there.
Yeah.
We can call it the Stobdp, S-T-O-B-D-P. But that this one you are to make reservations for, and I'm guessing you might have to go through Disney Dining Line, because from what I know, Sonoma Terrace doesn't take reservations through the app because it's not a reservation place anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll be checking tomorrow just for curiosity's sake. This one, it's in Sonoma Terrace. There's going to be 2 different seatings during the night at 7 and 9:30 p.m., and this one does state that 2 and under are free if they're sitting on a parent's or adult's lap. So this insinuates that it will be seated. My guess is the viewing for the parade will be from the Sonoma Terrace. Thus, Sonoma Terrace won't be available, or they'll just have a little line off available. Hopefully, you know, you and I are planning to get some beers that day. So if I've got to go to the dessert party to get a beer, so be it. So, yeah, that neither of these lists a price. So I'm a little worried there. I know I had done a dessert party for World of Color in the past. It was about $70. Obviously, this was 4 or 5 years ago. And it did include champagne. That was cool.
Have they mentioned a Halloween World of Color or no?
No. From all accounts, I mean, they haven't I think they've just said World of Color is out of condition till like next year.
No, okay.
It's getting some refurb. It's not included in any of the Oogie Boogie.
I would assume that all those fountains need to be rechecked, redone.
Yes,
with a closure. So,
yeah, no World of Color, which is a little bummer because that was one of the things I wanted to see last year. But there are so many other offerings at Oogie Boogie Bash. I'm excited for Villains Grove.
Yeah,
I'm excited to catch the parade wherever we may catch it from. Potentially from this dessert party.
Monsters at the dock. Monsters at the dock.
Check with Disney Universe on Twitter, Instagram. We'll be updating.
Especially Instagram.
Any of these things. I don't know. I guess my little thing is just, you know, it's a separate ticketed event with a separate ticketed thing inside of that, and you know.
But I'm excited. Cannot wait. I'm sure they're going to announce, because I know, I'm sure they're going to announce a lot more food offerings.
Oh, yeah. The general Halloween time food offerings. We'll be going about the park and getting in on those as well.
Yeah, exactly. And the tie-in with, when, I know we're still a little ways out with the Doctor Strange, but I can't wait till they start tying that in with Halloween, because from what we're hearing about the Multiverse of Madness, it's kind of like Marvel's first slightly horror movie.
Okay.
So I'd like to see how that will tie into any future Halloween bashes.
I could see potentially a change in the, you know, the Doctor Strange Sanctum show they got going out there. Yeah. But there's already so much trouble getting people into it because it's so small. I've seen the lines of people waiting to get in, and it was one of those. If I could walk by and check it out,
yeah,
as kind of the streetmosphere it was intended to be, cool. But having to wait for these little 10-minute, not even a performances, you know, the spider. We got to stop and see the Spider-Man stunt bot do his thing, and I had seen a video that they actually changed the dialogue. Talking about masks, because you know,
oh, really?
Came back and he's like, "Hey, cool mask you got there." So, cool. He's fun. We love Peter Parker. Stick with the times, but everyone's coming to see that stunt bot do his thing.
Yeah,
it is cool. And then you move on.
Yeah, right on.
So that's what I got for updated food and happenings at the resort.
Very well.
Aside from that, I know we talked earlier about your birthday. This just happened recently, but there was another birthday, just next to your birthday on August 9th. Happy birthday to the Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
52 years old. The original Haunted Mansion at Disneyland Park. I'll still call it Walt's Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Came from his idea. Obviously, if you were watching Behind the Attraction, as we talked about on our last episode.
Which I need to make a correction, because all episode, I was calling it Beyond the Attraction. And I printed it right where I put behind, but yeah, my vocal, I was calling it the wrong thing all.
I mean, they went beyond.
Yeah,
they
but,
went
you
above,
know,
beyond, behind.
But I was, as, trying to be as professional as I can, I was like, oh my God. I kept calling it Beyond. Did I ever call it? Anyways, but yeah, yes.
Behind the Attraction,
in
the mansion.
Attraction I've always felt, a connection to, because, it's 10 years or 9 years in a day off my birthday. So, always a little connection there, but
very cool. Do you have a favorite Haunted Mansion memory moment? Anything specific sticks out?
No. I mean, I think I've mentioned this before. One of the most things that sticks out the most, because this was super cool, was the Doom buggy I was in. The sound was out, the music. Mm-hmm. So all I was getting was the ambient sound, like around the hallway, and all the sounds that weren't in the Doom buggy, which gave it a little extra creepy moment. So, and that was on a recent trip within the last couple of years. So, but yeah, I mean, I love the attraction. It's definitely, I mean, it's a classic for a reason. I think they can. One thing I would like to see is a updated bride. I think that effect is kind of doesn't work as the way they're doing projection mapping now is so cool, and it just looks a little off tilt in my opinion compared to you see a bad projection mapping to a very cool Hatbox Ghost now.
Right.
So I'd like to see an updated bride. Everything else, perfect. The new entryway.
Yeah, they definitely spruced up a little bit. You could tell, a little darker, lights are a little brighter. The spider's gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, I love the Haunted Mansion. That was the reason of many, obviously. But my main catalyst, as I had said before, for our recent visit was to be able to go while it was still the original Haunted Mansion and not Haunted Mansion Holiday. All respect to Haunted Mansion Holiday.
We'll see you in September.
Which is celebrating its 20th anniversary this year.
Yes.
It's 2001, the year I graduated high school. So I just, all my trips happen to be between August and January. And we always happen to miss original Haunted Mansion. So I was happy to get there and see it and appreciate the cool little spruce ups.
Yeah, well done.
But I not a specific. I guess my memory of it is just being scared of it for a long time. Not mm-hmm. like I probably like 12 to 14 somewhere in there. I was just still a little uneasy about it.
Oh yeah, I can tell you, I was not good with a ghost following me home when I was a kid. So and yeah, I was not about that. So
shout out to all those with little ones that handle the cadaverous pallor better than I did back then. But it's one of my favorites. As we said, it's a classic. That and Pirates. I don't think I could go a trip without riding, you know, at least once both of those rides.
Yeah, absolutely. And we even got a quick little preview of the Muppets Haunted Mansion.
Yes.
We got a little glimpse of what looked like Gonzo and Pepe walking down the hallway.
The Muppets Haunted Mansion. Okay.
Okay. I'm the Muppets Haunted Mansion. And then we got a double cosplay of Kermit as Miss Piggy and Miss Piggy as Kermit.
Yeah, that was some Freaky Friday stuff.
Yeah, right there. I cannot wait for the special, though. I mean, it sold me on Muppets Haunted Mansion.
Well, and I don't know if this has got mentioned yet. I don't have the name of it, but there's going to be a Lego Star Wars kind of haunted special.
Dark Side Stories?
Dark Side Stories, I believe. There's even a little synopsis of it. So yeah, that's two Halloween specials we got to look forward to coming up here on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I believe that comes out on October 1st for the Star Wars one. I think the Muppet one is end of September or early October also.
I don't know, but I'm throwing them in the freeform mix with all the fun Halloween specials coming up. I think I watched Rocky Horror Picture Show and Hocus Pocus for the first time ever last year.
So oh,
nice. Two big ones off the list.
I'm not a big Hocus Pocus fan. We'll talk about that later. But no, the poster they released for this is awesome. It's a tombstone that says "Rest in Pieces." Then you see a Lego hand and Darth Vader's Lego saber coming out, and it's called a Star Wars Terrifying Tales.
Ooh.
And I think it's gonna be cool. It sounds like from what I've heard through once again the Resistance broadcast, this is gonna be following Poe and BB-8 as they're on a secret mission to Mustafar,
and we hear three tales going through the different eras of the Skywalker saga and the Star Wars galaxy. It should be fun. I guess similar to the Star Wars holiday, Lego holiday special.
Yeah, which was super fun.
Last year. I thought it was so cool how they incorporated all the characters from all the eras. And it was almost like an end game of Star Wars that going through the different time frames.
So I look forward to that.
Time heist.
Yes.
But it was another good segue to the last thing I wanted to mention was that we got into Monsters at Work finally.
Nice.
And I loved it. I think we watched 4 episodes. The big Wazowski.
I love that.
One of the faves, but so they've got a stellar voice cast, guest stars. You got the score, what they did with the intro music to make it sound like.
I didn't look at the credits, but I'm guessing because they're pretty popular with the Disney music family, but I'm guessing it's D Capella, which is the Disney version of Pentatonix.
Right.
So, I mean, that's...
Because it's kind of like
the acapella
beatboxing of the, I guess, the Monsters, Inc. theme.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen this, like Alex said, this is a great show. Literally takes place the day after the events of the original Monsters, Inc.
Yes.
Not Monsters University, which they start off in Monsters University, but where one of the top scarers at the school... gets a job opportunity from Monsters Incorporated, unbeknownst to how they switched from scaring kids to making kids laugh. And so that whole little story is really funny. So.
Yeah, I was mentioning the cast. You got Ben Feldman. He was in, like, Superstore. Billy Crystal and John Goodman came back as Mike and Sully. Henry Winkler is in it as Fritz. Bonnie Hunt, Jennifer Tilly, Mindy Kaling. Apparently, we're getting a John Ratzenberger cameo. I'm just flipping through the cast right here. I have not gotten to that episode yet. So,
Steven Stanton.
Spoiler alert.
He's a big Star Wars voice.
Apparently, Jason Jordan is a character in here, and it's showing his wrestling picture.
Really?
Shout out Ryan. I know who Jason Jordan is. He was in shit. I can't remember the tag team in NXT, but it was with Chad Gable, and he had this whole wax storyline where he was like an illegitimate child of Kurt Angle or something. But anyway, Jason Jordan apparently plays Manny. It could be a different Jason Jordan, but
and we got Rex and all the clones himself, D. Bradley Baker, doing the voice of Banana Bread. He was just the one that's just.
When who are those two? You know, the squeaky voice janitor kid and the freckle face.
Oh, stop leaving him alone. I don't know what I'm
those doing. Guys are in every episode. And yeah. They're hilarious because I feel like from both previous Monsters movies, you kind of wanted a little more of them. I don't know if I've gotten more than I wanted yet, but they've definitely been a fun. It's just fun. It's nostalgic. It's hitting all the notes from Monsters, Inc. Yeah. And Monsters University. I hope I was a big art fan, Charlie Day's character from Monsters U, so I hope we get to see him come back at some point.
Can't go back to jail.
The female lead, I think it's Mindy Kaling, but her character looks the same type style of monster.
That
as
furry,
furry horseshoe, like slinky arch type guy.
You know, I didn't even think about it. That would be cool to see a grown up art.
Have a squishy Uzma Kappa reunion.
Yeah, that would be. I would like to see that. So
well, who knows?
That's a fun show. No, it's a great show.
It's out now. It's releasing Wednesdays, I believe, on Disney Plus.
Yes.
Tonight. So by the time you all hear this, Marvel's What If will be out on Disney Plus.
Yes, with the Peggy Carter episode, I think, is the lead off.
And I guess this spun through my head into the question of, and I believe you guys did an episode talking about Disney Plus before, but at least to this point, specifically being Disney Plus original releases, so released on that platform first, top five things to have come from Disney Plus. I'm going to give you a minute to think. I'm going to start with mine. I don't have this written down, but obviously I've had the question in my head longer than you because I had it coming off of Monsters at Work, who do make my list.
Yes.
Number one with a bullet, The Mandalorian.
Yes.
Got to be that. Number two for me, I'm going to have to make a tie because the shows are so similar. Imagineering Story and Behind the Attraction. Love both of them. I guess I slightly like Imagineering Story a little better just because how it covered the full timeline.
Yeah, and I think they're both great in their own right. Imagineering Story is perfect for the hardcore, longtime Disney fans. And I think the behind the attraction, not beyond the attraction, is great for a lot of the people that have maybe got into Disney over the last couple of years, aren't completely familiar with everything, and just the upbeatness of it is a good.
It definitely seemed like a little bit, you know, Imagineering Story is kind of more the documentary version. This was more like the fun pop-up video version.
Exactly. Yeah. No, I couldn't have said that better. So,
so number three.
I think we're going to be pretty even on a lot of these.
It gets weird here.
Yeah.
Number three, I haven't given it a rewatch. I don't know if it's gotten a second season yet, but I believe a second season's coming. And that was The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
Second season is coming.
That was a fun show. Jeff Goldblum is a national treasure.
It was the show I did not know I needed in my life.
Yes. Yeah.
When they announced it, it was like, huh, hi.
In a similar way to Behind the Attraction, kind of a, you know, pop art version of, you know, an interesting, almost Vice News type of deep dive into things like denim, barbecue, sneakers.
So the sneaker episode. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. When he went to that sneaker sale, that was wild.
12-year-old with a wad of cash.
Yeah.
Just like, that was a great episode.
Number four is going to be Monsters at Work. I guess I don't know if it's the first original Disney. I mean, they've done like High School Musical, the musical, the series, and
I have not seen that, but I got to give them an extra thumbs up just for the title.
Yeah,
the title is pretty brilliant.
I think they're getting a third season, so I mean they're churning them out faster than anyone else on Disney Plus. Which you know, we of course we give us that Mando. We were ready for some more Mando.
Yeah,
you know, excited for Obi-Wan and all the other things coming. And I guess my fifth spot, I am trying to pick which Marvel show it would be. For me, it's WandaVision. I think that show, it was just so different. And I feel that it's a show with each rewatch, you're going to see different things. If you didn't watch a million Easter egg videos as me and Addy did and go down the rabbit hole thinking Mephisto was coming. But my prediction for that after the third episode, when it, you know, turned to color and things got bigger, the world got bigger, is that show, after we get through phase four, you're going to be able to go back to it and see it in a whole new fashion.
Yeah, agreed.
So yeah, that's my top five.
Well, yeah, we're going to be really close. Yeah, number one, hands down, is Mandalorian. That show is just amazing. It's everything a lifelong Star Wars fan has wanted and even didn't even know that we're going to get. And like I've been fan of Jon Favreau for years, and then Dave Filoni, seeing him on behind the scenes of Clone Wars, just his you see it, but just his interaction with George Lucas. But I mean, they love what they're doing, and it shows on screen, and the team they put together. I mean, one of the big knocks on Star Wars, even since Kathleen Kennedy has become the president, was the lack of diversity. And not like cast and actors, but the creators. And then, you know, you get them and the team they built, of the team of directors that they put together for the first two seasons, has been as diverse as anything in Hollywood. And they've earned their, what I call, earned their keep.
And they made such a great cohesive story.
Yeah.
I guess, you know, jump over to the Mando show if you want to break down any of that. with the nuances, and especially getting the, what do you call it? Their behind the scenes series.
Oh, the gallery?
The Disney gallery, Mando.
Yeah.
And seeing, you know, the process and stuff for each one. It just got me so excited to have them all going and doing more things. For the most part, I think they're all kind of going to get into other Disney Star Wars series or movies. And
so my number two, I'm going to slightly cheat, but I'm going to kind of go on where you went with not just like the Imagineering story and Beyond the Attraction. Behind the Attraction, but the original documentaries that they've been doing. So Gallery, the documentary for Frozen 2,
that
was amazing.
That's a good one.
I was just...
Should have had that in my list. I cried.
Yeah, I was watching. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll see how it is. It was great.
Yeah.
The assembled documentaries on each of the Marvel shows have been amazing. So
I haven't watched the last two, so
yeah.
I got some to catch.
So just, there. Yeah, so like as my cheating answer, the documentaries either following the attractions or the original shows that they've brought out. And Frozen 2, because that was a great one. Number three, kind of cheating again, and I apologize. But sticking to your role according to Jeff Goldblum, the National Geographic shows, I'm a big Shark Week, and that's Discovery Channel, but for years, National Geographic also does Shark Fest.
Hey.
So being the fact that we were able to get the Shark Fest shows, like, instantly, the Chris Hemsworth one, the swimming with sharks.
Yeah, I only got through half of one of them.
But, yeah.
And it looked like it was all Disney
produced
Plus original content.
Yeah, so it was in...
Got that Disney Plus original.
Yeah, logo. So it was in works with National... So they were showing it on Nat Geo, but they're getting it on Disney Plus right away, too.
Right.
So watching a lot of those. And this one, I don't know. I think this was specifically for Disney Channel. Or Disney Plus, but it was the Wales one, and this was produced by James Cameron. And so they'll have like six different episodes, and each one, like the first one's like on orcas, one's on humpback whales, but the camera work on this thing was amazing. Let me just get the title real quick. So yeah, so it's strictly from National Geographic, but it's part of Disney Plus, and it's called The Secrets of Wales. Such a great documentary. So, and it's docu-series. Where am I? What am I at? Is that four?
That's three.
I'm going to throw this one out there. The Mighty Ducks. Game Changers.
I still haven't got around to it, but I need to. The whole season's out now, right?
That, yeah, that was a fun show. It was a show. I love the movies, all three movies. It is a legit trilogy. All three movies are great, in my opinion. And this has it has a nice little nod to them, of course, but while being its own thing. So, and I believe it got greenlit for a second season. But it was a fun show. The kids are funny. One thing I brought up before that I'm really picky about are child actors. They could really take me out of a movie or show real quick. And so when there's an ensemble that's really good, like I've the ones I use for example are the children from Mary Poppins Returns. I thought they were great.
Okay.
The younger brother from A Wrinkle in Time, he took me out of the movie.
Got it.
And he was just, I don't know. So the kids, the cast, they're really great. So, and I can't wait for that. And I don't know what 5 is. It's probably going to be a Marvel show, but I can't think of which one because they're also different, but all amazing. Oh, man. I'm going to go with you on WandaVision because we knew what we were going to get with Winter Soldier and Falcon, and it was brilliant. It was great. We kind of figured what we were going to get with Loki. We're going to get a strange Loki show.
I didn't really jump out of my seat in Loki until He Who Remains arrived.
Yeah, but WandaVision, like, is one of those shows that you either loved it right away or you hated it right away. But people are still enough to be like, what's going on? And I thought it was great. So it made me. Scarlet Witch is one of my favorite Marvel characters. And to see her turn into Scarlet Witch, I've been a Catherine Hahn fan for years. I always liked Darcy. I was not a big Wu fan in Ant-Man, but I loved him. I thought that he was brilliant in the show. Mm-hmm. And I was all on board when people were saying, we need a Darcy and Wu show. Sign me up. I'm on board now. So, yes.
Well, I think that show, you know, getting those characters from all those different movies, it was almost like getting a proper after Endgame, you know? Like the universe has continued to be intertwined and not going back off to individual things. Cause you know, as we see the next Guardians movie is going to have, you know, like Thor and all kinds of stuff going on, as will Thor Ragnarok, Spider-Man, No Way Home, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. We're due for a lot of crossovers, the Marvels. So, I mean, we're expecting to get multiple heroes or characters in each show. But I think it's interesting. We both put the Marvel show at the bottom of our 5.
Yeah, but everything in this 5 is so high praise to me. Everything.
Totally. Yeah. Totally.
And there's,
I mean, there's a lot of great stuff. You brought up documentaries. I neglected to mention all the vintage Disney documentary type live. Like the Disneyland pre-opening report with Walt Disney talking about Disneyland. There's a random special, the Mouseketeers go to Disney World in like 1977 or something.
Yeah.
And it's really awkward and weird 70s variety show type stuff. But seeing the places they go to around Walt Disney World and how much things have changed. I love those moment in time type things. So any of those, I mean, they put the Galaxy's Edge special on there. I know that originally aired on TV.
The biodomes or the soaring.
The biomes.
I call it soaring over Star Wars.
Soaring over a galaxy that, far, far away.
That little videos that came out on May the 4th.
That would be cool if they did biomes in Soarin' for Star Wars Celebration.
Yeah.
Ooh. So, are you listening, Disney?
Listening. We'll send you the feed. I got a few shout outs. One of them is a movie I have not seen yet, but I've been wanting to see, and I've heard is great, is Luca.
I need to watch Luca. I need to watch Raya.
Everybody, I've watched Raya.
I should have put Soul in the mix, because technically that was a Disney Plus release.
It premiered, yeah. But I've heard Luca is a really good movie, so I want to check that out. And this wasn't a Disney Plus original. This was this show. It was a cartoon. It was only out for one season, and this was a show that was... for some reason, it was only released in the Philippines in 2018. And this is The Adventures of the Three Caballeros.
I did. I think you probably mentioned it.
Yeah.
Got down that, what do I call it? The recommended titles rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Where you go to a movie or show and then you go look at the similar things and then you go to another one and then another one.
So me, who is a big fan of the Three Caballeros as it is, Donald Duck's my favorite character. The animation is great. The stories are fun. And I don't know why this was not like a top show. And I mean, I'm probably going to do a rewatch again real soon, but
bring it back, Disney.
Exactly.
Give us the panel at D23 this year. We'll be there.
So I enjoyed that more than the updated DuckTales, which I really did enjoy.
That also had a fun voice cast.
Yeah.
We're still watching Resistance. I mean, I finished it, but as I've told you, we've been doing a full Star Wars galaxy far, far away timeline watch through. We started with the prequels and have, you know, watched all the way through Clone Wars and Mandalorian. And now we're into Resistance and almost at the back end with The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker.
Well, now you got the two Ewok movies to tie in. And
yeah, we skipped those. We skipped those ones. I will watch them at some point, maybe, because I do remember watching those on TV.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know, we'll see what happens, because November is...
How about you got one, just one for the rest of the year thing you're looking forward to most on Disney Plus.
The rest of this year?
The rest of 2021. We've already got the
obvious is there, and that's Book of Boba Fett.
Yeah.
But I am so excited and really interested in seeing how Star Wars Visions comes out.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge anime fan, but I appreciate the style, the history, the storytelling of anime, and being the fact that it's not like Disney or Star Wars going, hey, you know, to the storytellers, like, hey, do the Battle of Krayt in your style, or do the, you know, we want to see the trench run. No, they went to these actual anime art. Each one is a different art house, a different studio, different artist, different style.
All widely successful.
Exactly.
In their own
right. And they said, do your story. And so being the fact that everything's so huge on Star Wars about, you know, oh, we got, this is canon, we got to make this canon, this is part of the story. They said, none of it's canon. Just enjoy, do your thing. And so I'm really excited to see Vision, see what it comes out. I love the art and the beauty of anime. So I'm really excited, but number one is Book of Boba Fett, hands down.
Yeah, Book of Boba Fett is the easy one. I guess I didn't really, I don't know many things that are coming, you know, other than the Marvel and Star Wars slate. So I'm going to say Miss Marvel. It's supposed to come out before the end of the year, which, unless it's coming out at the same time as Hawkeye, is going to be soon, because Hawkeye, I think, got that right before Thanksgiving release date.
Yeah, I think so. And I heard... I feel like one of those shows got pushed back, but I'm not sure which one.
Well, there was just the news like a week or two ago that we were getting two Marvel shows before the end of the year.
Yeah.
I could see if Hawkeye is November and Miss Marvel's after, could have potentially been pushed into January or something. But whatever, January is still 2020.
Exactly.
At least for the first 2 weeks. But I'm interested as a character I'm not very familiar with. Person of color character, another one in the MCU. I know she's going to have a big role in the Marvels, the Captain Marvel sequel.
She's a good character. I had the first...
Kamala Khan.
Yeah, I had the first two or three comics of her story.
But she's a relatively really new character as well.
Yeah, right? Within the last like 3 years.
So I'm excited.
They gained popularity really quick, and rightfully so. She was a good character.
I mean, needless to say... notwithstanding our top fives, overall, Marvel's been doing good. I think great with their television content. I guess something I had heard on a different podcast I was listening to, which makes sense, is that we're just kind of trained and predisposed to getting our Marvel in 2 to 3 hour doses with the beginning, middle, and end. so it's hard for them to make a 40-minute show where each one gives you as much as you get from a 2.5 hour long movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
So while the whole thing, you know, may be great, I guess the excitement isn't really as much there for each individual episode. I'm excited to watch What If later tonight.
Oh, I cannot wait. Yeah, I'm really excited for this. So, yeah, there's so much coming out on Disney Plus within the next, we'll just say the rest of the year. I think we've all mentioned some. Well, I piggybacked on some of your stuff, but
we like similar things.
We all love it. But yeah, there's some great content. Let us know what you guys have been watching, what you're really enjoying. There is a lot. I know a lot of people have been watching some of the, like you said, the High School Musicals. I don't know, some other shows that are coming out. So let us know what you guys have been digging.
Let us know what you're watching on Disney Plus. Let us know your top fives, what glaring omission we left out, or what we should be watching if we haven't watched it yet. As well as everything else, we just kind of chopped it up about here in the Disney universe. Are you going to be getting a magic key? Are you going to be down at the Oogie Boogie Bash? Would you pay for another reserved viewing meal or dessert party on top of your separate ticket to go to the Oogie Boogie Bash?
If you don't know what day you want to go to, go to the 19th because we will be there.
So. Yeah. Or let us know if you want to be in on our reservation for Trader Sam's on the 18th. I think I'm just going to make a reservation for 6 and whoever
we say we can find people.
Yeah, we'll find people.
Be like, ooh, you cute. No, I'm just kidding. But no, yeah. This was a pretty fun show. I mean, it was just kind of like loosey goosey, but I mean, we still had a lot of stuff that we wanted to talk about.
But the next show.
Some good news. Yes.
Serious.
The next show.
Super serious.
We've been talking about this the last couple of weeks. We've been teasing it. We haven't really been teasing. We've been straight up telling you what's going to be happening.
Time of year. You guys have probably been waiting for it just as much as us.
Exactly. We will be doing our second annual Fantasy Parks Draft.
Disney Universe Fantasy Park Draft, draft.
Alex will be looking to defend his title.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to be looking to add a few more, maybe a possible park and some slots. So I am going to contact everybody that was part of it last year. I believe last year I didn't have the means to actually video. I was still too new to Zoom, and some people didn't have the setup. But I think we're going to actually record it. And maybe do it for YouTube. Who knows? But will also download the audio. It'll be fun. It's just something I think it needs to be a visual thing. And but yeah, we're going to Alex and I are going to kind of crunch the rules and the gameplay.
We'll be reaching out to those who joined us last year very soon. If there are any open spaces and this could be something you could be interested in doing, please slide into the DMs of at Disney Universe Podcast on Instagram or Twitter, mostly Instagram.
Yeah.
And let us know if this is something you'd be interested in, because as Joe said, we may add a couple spots, add a couple more parks to draft from.
Yeah, we'll be first come, first serve.
You will know the parameters before the draft, so you have time to game plan.
Yes, definitely. So that'll be coming up next episode for episode 96 is today, and that was the year I graduated high school, 1996. That's how old I am. I think Ryan was in diapers. So, yeah, but it'll be fun.
I thought he was born in the 2000s.
Oh, well, maybe. Never mind. He was before diapers.
No, he was born before the 2000s because he's over 21.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. He's older than Trey Lance, who was born in 2000.
He's older than Trey Lance, but not older than Joey's high school diploma.
Exactly. So, no, look forward to that. We will be posting pretty heavily on our socials. So it was fun. We had a blast last year, and we were pretty much counting down the days to do it again this year. So it'll be revamped and a lot of fun.
Yeah, get ready for it. Obviously, we want all of you, if you can't participate in the draft itself, be looking out on Instagram to vote for those parks.
Yes, the votes are important.
Because that will be a big one. I'm sure there will be a prize again that I'm looking forward to claim again. So here we go.
And we might,
the trash talk is on.
And I think we even added whoever voted every round got a prize. I believe we ran through that too. I just forgot about it. But no, I mean, somebody that voted every round won a prize.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And I didn't forget about the prize. I forgot to announce They did get their prize. I forgot to bring that up before. So if you vote, you could win a nice Disney theme prize.
Yes, yes. So voting gets you a prize, and then obviously if you participate and manage to slay the dragon, that is me and the defending champion, you would also get a prize there as well.
Sweet, sweet. So definitely watch on our pay attention to our socials. Once again, that's Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, we'll be doing a lot of plugging on it on YouTube. So that's Disney Universe TV, and we'd love it if you would share the show. So you just tell your friends, hey, check out this podcast. They're on every podcast platform. So pretty fun. And, yeah, once again, I want to thank our DU crew members, too. Superfan Jen, Sasquatch, Mike, Alfredo, and Discord Apparel. And our good friends at Neverland Trading. Once again, you find something you like, go to that discount code, DVERSE, DVERSE, and type in that, and you'll get a nice little discount. So we will be back in a few weeks and see if you remember it this time. Until next time,
to infinity and beyond.
That comes out after May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
We'll get you on that, dude. So see you guys for episode 97.
How about I'll do my own?
Okay.
Snakes. I hate snakes.
Tourist. Why'd it have to be tourist?